Welcome to Chewing the Fat, a WorkForge podcast, your source for bite-sized conversations about the world of food manufacturing staffing, retention, onboarding, training, and career development, featuring operators, industry leaders, and more.
Hey there, good day. We are very excited for this installment of the Chewing the Fat podcast to discuss End Your Beef with Training Audits. I'm today's host, Chris Clark, Senior Marketing Manager with WorkForge, and a food manufacturing veteran from Triumph Foods, Seaboard Triumph Foods, Daly's Premium Meats, and some work with Seaboard Foods. So got a little work in the food biz, and with me today, we've got Ramsey Atiyah, the Operations and Compliance Manager at WorkForge, and just all around good guy and food manufacturing expert. So set the stage today to talk about our audits. We're going to spend a little time chewing the fat about how and why you need to end your beef with training audits. It's a long and overdue to change your process to make the audits a click of just a few buttons instead of a productivity killer, not to mention just an open door risk to your business. So today, Ramsey, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of set the stage, kick things off. Why do audits cause so many headaches for food manufacturers?
Yeah, so, big issue with audits, right, is that you don't have a ton of time to prepare. You know, you may have a few weeks, you may have a few days. So the ability to retrieve audit records in a timely manner to avoid fines is critical, and to avoid findings of any kind in an audit are, it's bad for business. So you need to be able to retrieve those records instantly or within a reasonable time frame, you know, same day or within an hour or so of the request from the auditor. So the only way to do that really is, right, is to have digital records and not to have a bunch of records in a paper filing cabinet, you know, locked somewhere in a wet basement. When you don't have a digital and a systematic way of tracking training, you end up scrambling, for days and weeks before the audit. You're trying to retrieve all the training records, you're trying to retrieve all the OJT verification documents, who knows who handed them in or what desk they were left on. It makes for a stressful few weeks before an audit, and it really makes it to where you're opening yourself up for liability risks.
It really does. And you bring up a good point. Let's say, God forbid, heaven forbid, you've got an OSHA inspector on site. Maybe you've had a workplace incident. That OSHA inspector is going to want to see those training records. If it's a PIT, incident or something like that, they're going to want to see the training records to make sure that that employee was trained properly. And when OSHA wants something, they want it right now.
That's right.
They don't want to wait. And if you have to, dig around and you're jumping from office to office to office or computer, 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 it kind of shows that your data is not all in one place. And then at that point, how secure is it? And which opens up another, wide question of, well, if your data, you can't find it, is it just out anywhere that someone could grab it and maybe forge it, or you've got some bad actors that might do something like that? So yeah, absolutely. That's all great points.
That's a great point. You know, if people are completing paper records, there's no user access control on a piece of paper. Anybody right. can grab that paper, anybody can fill it out, anybody can forge a signature. It's a lot harder to do when you have to have somebody's username and password to log into a system to sign off on a training. It gives you that other layer of security and confidence knowing that your records are what they say they are.
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, aside from that, what that does to your productivity, when you have to then scramble for 2, 3, 4 weeks, or whatever amount of time you have to prepare for an audit, it derails operations and productivity, right? You've got people scrambling, looking for records instead of doing their jobs. It can impact production quality and a lot more.
Yeah, we had, I have seen many times that if there's an annual refresher coming up, say it's an SQF and the audit's coming up, we've got to pull 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 people off the line to get their annual refresher training in because the audit's tomorrow. And we have no records. We can't find the records of if they took it or not. And that auditor, when they come in, they're probably going to ask for those people's training records. And we need to be able to prove that they took that annual refresher. You mentioned something earlier that I think is really interesting. And really, when it comes down to auditing as well, again, I'm going to go back to OSHA with any sort of on-site incident, and I'm going to pick on PIT drivers. only because of, in my background, PITs, powered industrial trucks, are flying all around the production floor. You've got, you know, we would have 1,400 people on one side of our production floor, and these PITs are flying around, moving combos.
Full speed.
And you've got pallet jacks, you know, Raymond High Lift, walkie riders. You've got all of these things flying around. And the number one incident, cause of incident, was careless PIT driving. Now, in my experience, the safety department were the ones that would issue the PIT licenses and certifications for those drivers. And that would then require our safety manager or our safety staff would have to go. They would administer a paper test. They would do a one-to-one training. They would administer a paper assessment. If they passed the assessment, then they would say, okay, let's go out to this kind of secluded area where the person would then have to show competency on the piece of equipment, the OJT. And if the OJT was failed, they would have to go through the test again. They would have to keep going until they passed their OJT. But that OJT was like the most important thing that any auditors or OSHA inspectors would want to see to show, do you have proof of competency that this person showed that they could actually drive this powered industrial truck? And I think OJTs are something that within e-learning and digitizing training records has kind of missed, or, you know, it's tough to capture that, or it has been tough to capture that until now. And I know you do a lot of work with digitizing and capturing OJT. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So yeah, you're exactly right. You know, the, when you're doing it on paper and you don't have a systematic process, it can be wildly inconsistent, right? People could be receiving different types of training, different methodologies. Trainers like to do things their own way. So for one, you can try to standardize the training content as much as possible by, you know, having guides in the system and objectives that the trainers need to hit every single time, or even videos that are delivered through the system consistently, instead of counting on a trainer to deliver that message the same way over and over. On top of that, when you do OJT verifications in the system, you know, in a learning management system, you can add evidence, you can add videos, you can add photographs, proof that the training was delivered, proof that certain points were covered, you know, and proof that they demonstrated the skill live in front of you, so that there's no questions on whether it was delivered correctly and whether they demonstrated that skill before you let them loose on a truck.
Is there a way to validate that it was observed by someone who was qualified and just Ramsey Atiyah didn't just come in and sign off on it?
Yeah, exactly. So because the supervisors and trainers have to sign into the system and authenticate, when they do an OJT verification sign off in the system, you know it was signed off by the correct person. Not only, you know, are they attaching evidence, but you're confident that it was the right person that delivered it and it was signed off, you know, by that person and not somebody else who just happened to know the signature.
That's a game changer. I know all my years, you know, dealing with audits or training records or tracking down training records. Wow, that is a game changer. What other sort of benefits? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, and another, you know, and in a good system, you know, you can do these on a smartphone, you know, or on a tablet. It's not like you've got to be in front of a computer to document these OJTs. As long as the trainer, supervisor, manager, whoever is doing the documentation, or whoever's documenting that OJT, as long as they've got their smartphone or a tablet on them, you know, they can easily pull up the OJT, they can take pictures and videos right from their phone, and they can sign off on it right there. So it's honestly more convenient than carrying around a stack of papers and having to do it all on paper. It's easier just to whip out your phone, get it done, snap a picture, and it's in the system and it's documented live.
Uploaded and it's done. That's like I said, that's a game changer. I wish we had that back in my day.
Right. Yeah. Because when you do it like that, your records are always up to date. Your reports are always accurate. Your skills matrix report is always accurately reflecting the skills as they are right now. When there's no delay, you know, from getting that signed piece of paper over to the training department or over to the quality department, you know, there's no delay. There's no paper sitting on a desk for 2-3 days. When it's done in the system on a, you know, on your mobile device, your skills matrix is instantly up to date and accurate.
Oh man, you mentioned the paper stacks. Every month I would be handed a stack of paper. I'm not kidding. 4 inches, 5 inches tall of individual sheets of paper of trainings that would have to be manually entered into the system.
Right, and so that you're duplicating work, you're increasing the chance for human error. You know, somebody's doing that same amount of work twice, at least twice, maybe more than twice. Whereas if it was just done, you know, on the mobile device in the system from the get-go, you know, you save all that duplication of work, of data entry, and then you virtually eliminate the chance of human error, you know, of that paper getting lost, of something getting miskeyed or mistyped. You know, even the date, somebody keying in the wrong date could really screw you up in an audit. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Well, you mentioned skills matrix, and this is a function that I think is super cool. And I can see an application from back in my days of you know, working in the production fabrication plant. But what do you kind of see the benefits of the skills matrix? I mean, you know, you already mentioned with the OJT, it automatically updates in the skills matrix, so everyone knows that that person is trained, that they've shown competency, they're qualified. But what are some benefits you see? Because I'm curious if you're going to list the one that I see.
Yeah, so you know, the skills matrix has a few benefits. First of all, it's color coded, easy to read. You don't have to have skills in Excel. You don't have to be good with data. Anybody can run that report and visually identify gaps. Okay, so the whole point is that you can visually identify skill gaps in that matrix. So you know, if you're looking across your skills matrix and you see a bright white column, that means nobody can do that job. Nobody has demonstrated that skill, and then you immediately know that you need to fill that gap. The other big part of that is when you're shift planning. We see a lot of clients, you know, use it for that reason. Is you know, they want to balance skills across their shifts, or maybe they're running a certain product on night shift, and they need to see who on night shift can actually set up the machine to do this. You know, what if the machine goes out of alignment halfway through the shift? If there's not a qualified technician on the night shift, you lose hours of productivity. So the fastest way to do that is with the skills matrix report. You can run them by shift, you can run them by department, you can run them company wide, you know, and very quickly identify gaps and fill them.
Yeah. So the way that I kind of look at it as well is we did something that was way more archaic and it was tough to manage as related to labor allocation. So I'm going to blow your mind here. So production line A, production line B, I'm in a meat fabrication shop. We are a union shop, so we have a CBA I have to abide by. We have production line A, production line B. Orders on production line A are way down. Orders on production line B are way up. And I need to allocate labor from A to B, but I don't know who is qualified, who's been trained to run product on line B. Also, our SQF auditor is coming in today, and they're gonna watch us fabricate product. And they may just want to pull someone off the line and look at their records and say, is Ramsey qualified to do that job? So we can validate, yes, he is qualified to do that job, because we can see here on the skills matrix. And that also helps us on the proactive side allocate labor to really, you know, keep up with what our customer demand is, what our orders are. So it's put in as a way to, like, the way I see it is, it helps for audit preparation. It lets you know way ahead of time where your weaknesses are, where your gaps are. And also, you can leverage that into operations too when it comes to just making product. So, and then the reporting side of it. Like, can you talk about the reporting side of it? That's something I know nothing about.
Yeah, what's nice about it is that once you're documenting all of this information digitally in the system, is you can run the report a number of different ways from different positions. So, you know, an administrator or a production manager can run it plant wide. Whereas individual team leaders or supervisors, they can run it on their team so that they can then, you know, keep the skills balanced across their team, make sure they've got coverage if somebody doesn't show up for work, that they've got multiple people on their team that can perform all the tasks needed to run whatever product they're running that day. So it's hugely valuable, you know, for that reason, that it's not just a top level report, but anybody who is managing people can run the skills matrix report and very quickly get a visual you know, reference for the coverage of skills and quickly identify any gaps. So, you know, once that data is in the system, you know, you can reorganize the skills matrix multiple different ways. You can create multiple skills matrices, you know, for different sets of machines. I've seen people do it by room, by line, by machine brand. You know, so you can do it several different ways and have, you know, multiple skills matrix report to give you information on demand, you know, across different areas of your facility.
Well, like earlier, we kind of talked a little bit about like lost time due to manual tracking and audit information. And this can also be leveraged over into just day-to-day operational as well. But, you know, in my time, I was kind of a part of the HR department, knew how the inner workings of the HR department was when interacting with our frontline production workers. And we were a union shop, so we had a collective bargaining agreement that we had to abide by. And it takes a lot of time for our HR folks to then validate, yes, Ramsey can go work on production line two. Because, you know, if we move somebody who into a role that they're not trained for, and when we move somebody into another role, they need to be paid whatever that role's wages are for that day. We would call it side grading. And if they're not trained in that and they get injured, that falls back on us. So I remember like my days in HR hearing just the horror stories of all the time that it takes, you know, your HR generalists and just your folks in HR just to validate these training things when at, you know, it's really at the touch of your finger for, you know, those production folks. They could just jump on and say, yep, he's good, put him on there, we'll side grade him up for the day. Boom, done.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. When you've got, you know, the data and the reports, you know, at your fingertips like that, and you can run these reports and monitor this periodically throughout the year, when audit day comes, you're ready. Yeah. You know, you can run the reports, double check everything. But really, you know, if you've got a systematic approach to it and you're documenting, you know, all the OJTs on the floor, you're documenting any group or classroom training that you're doing. And then obviously individual training that's done, you know, by employees just logging into the system and completing their training. You know, when that audit day gets announced, you can run your reports and you're ready to go. And you're not derailing operations and, you know, when you've got the skills matrix report and all the other reports, there's 50 something reports for administrators in the system. You know, you can be confident that you're on pace, that you're pacing for, you know, to have all your training completed by the end of the year, plant wide and by department, by shift. So, you know, having the information digitized is just, it's hard to put into words how valuable it really is. And you never realize it until, you know, some time's gone by and you realize, wow, we don't have any paper records and I have instant access to all the information I need.
Let's say what you just said, you're audit ready all the time. Yep. And if you can, you know, sleep better at night, knowing that you're audit ready, knowing if there's an incident, okay, you're ready for that inspector to come in, or your SQF or BRC auditor decides to do a surprise edit or a surprise audit, you're prepared, you're ready to go. And then being able to leverage those tools also over into operations as well. So, I mean, it's not just an HR, you know, check in the box, you know, pencil whipping thing. Like, it really is making an impact to, you know, the risk mitigation on top of production efficiencies that this can do. And it's, I think it's incredible. I guess I wish we had these tools when I was working in the plants, but.
And just being able to demonstrate a systematic approach to an auditor, even if there's some issues, you know, that goes a long way. The last thing an auditor wants to see when they ask for records is a giant file cabinet, you know, full of paper records. That's the last thing they want to see. They do exactly that. They shake their head, you know, but right. But when you can demonstrate, hey, we have a systematic process. It's all digital. You know, we're assigning training consistently, we're running reports consistently, then, you know, that does a lot in an audit. That gives you some wiggle room. You know, they want to see a systematic approach to training. They don't just want to see, you know, yeah, when somebody needs training, we grab them, we throw them in a room and we train, and then hopefully the paper record gets back to somebody. You know, so it goes a long way.
No, you're right. It demonstrates efficiency. It demonstrates that you're mitigating risk and you're really taking, you know, any potential risk head on and you're being proactive of it. It's demonstrating that you're being compliant most of all. And that's what auditors, a fast and happy audit is a good audit. If you have an auditor come in, they get what they want when they want it. It's seamless. Even if it's, you know, a little dirty over here, we found a broken line over here or whatever, those small little, you know, maintenance things, those might pop up, sure. But it's really just about being able to pull the information in a timely manner, getting it to them in a timely manner, because this is a huge part of your audit. And I've seen failed audits or audits that come back not so great, where the organization or the company has lost clients or has been on probation with a large client and had to go back, do corrective action, prove again, and you know, pass the follow-up audit before that customer would even come back. And you lose some mega dollars just on record retention and something like this. It seems like such a small thing to these companies, but it's like, if you just do it once.
Right, but it's like, you know, what it is it demonstrates an organizational commitment to quality. And the only way to, you know, and one of the biggest ways to do that is through training, right? So, you know, just demonstrating that, hey, we've spent time and money and a lot of thought, you know, to have this systematic training process to make sure our quality is what we want it to be. You know, that speaks volumes to clients and auditors. So it's, there's no substitute, you know, for a systematic training process.
Yeah. Well, probably going to close up here. Do you have any closing statements, Ramsey?
No. I think this was great, and I think we covered our main points. And
it's a great stuff on, you know, ending your beef with training audits. And just anyone listening, I'm just going to say, if you're looking for any more information on the topic, you know, visit workforge.com/blog for any more information on staying audit ready. There is a blog series about audit readiness and audit preparedness that Ramsey and I had a bit of a hand in. And as always, thank you very much for joining Chewing the Fat with Workforge. And until next time, keep forging ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. See you next time.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for joining this episode of Chewing the Fat, a Workforge podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Visit workforge.com to learn more and sign up for more food manufacturing resources at workforge.com/blog.